When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
At number 62 on our roster countdown for the 49ers, this is a second chance 49ers missed opportunity with Chase Lucas, a versatile corner, probably going to be a nickelback special teamer, can play outside, but nickel's going to be his spot. This was somebody the 49ers went after very heavily in the draft in 2022, had an official meeting with him, played at Arizona State with Ayuk, played under Herm Edwards, John Lynch's best friend. And so, like, there's a lot there. And this is a guy whose story, whose personality, whose versatility, it all fits the 49ers to a T. Now, he got drafted in the 7th round by the Lions. Didn't work out. Just couldn't find a way on the field defensively. Was a special teamer only. But now he comes to the 49ers, and I really feel like he is the absolute perfect fit at nickel. The problem was the 49ers went and spent a 2nd-round pick on a rookie, Renardo Green, that is built the exact same way as Chase Lucas to play the same position but with much more talent. And so I really feel like Chase Lucas before draft, I was like, man, there's an outside chance this is your number 3 corner to start the season. If you're going to keep Demo outside, Chase Lucas would be the next one. And I still think currently on the depth chart at the nickel position, Diamador Lenore, Renardo Green, Chase Lucas. So not very far removed at all. And based on what the 49ers choose to do with their corner rotation whenever they do go to that nickel set, which they're in well over 70% of the time in today's NFL. Like, if you want to keep Demo outside and go with the rookie, Chase Lucas is, you know, a snap or two away from getting some playing time. Special teams, that's where he's going to, you know, fortify his roster spot, which he's going to be great at. But the positional upside of, man, this guy could legitimately see the field with one injury. He could be out there. Now, he comes in number 62 for us, and, you know, we do 4 full ballots, 4 separate people. Shout out to Josh, Dave, Oscar, and Zach. And, you know, when we do these 4, his highest rank was 43. His lowest rank was 77. Like, it's all over the place. Where are the 49ers going to value him as far as that nickel rotation? Is he number 2? Is he number 3? We'll see. Now, he's wearing jersey number 26 this year for the 49ers. He's 5'11", 184. A little bit smaller for 49ers corners. That they prefer that 6 foot 200. 31-inch arms, short. He's 27 years old. Ran a 4.4840. So the speed is there. 6'7" 3 cone, elite. That's great. Change of direction. He's just built like an NFL nickel. 1.52, 10 yard. That's great. 39-inch vertical, explosive lower body. That's 82nd percentile among NFL corners. 10.8 broad jump. That's 83 percentile. Like, the dude can jump. He's got 12 bench press reps. It's what it is. Now, here's what's funny. Mockdraftable.com, you plug in all the metrics from the combine, and it updates every year. Every single year, the number one player that has the most in common with Chase Lucas is none other than Renardo Green. There are 93.3% match, the closest player to Chase Lucas. And it's like all players from this year and last year. Terrion Arnold, 84% match. Mekhi Blackman, 83%. Cam Smith, 83%. The metrics fit. It's just he hasn't found his way on the field. He's going into his third season. Is that going to change? He's going to need some help. There's no doubt about it. But this is a 49ers-type player. Again, official draft meeting with him before one of their top 30s, before 2022. And we're seeing this in free agency now where they go after all these guys that they had meetings with, you know, 4 years ago. And then, you know, they hit their rookie contract expires and then they bring him in. You know, you talk to Jordan Elliott, you Ter Gross Matos, those types of guys. And you can add Chase Lucas to that as well. Grew up in Chandler, Arizona, played at Chandler High School. He was a 4-star recruit coming out, goes to Arizona State and is there for a long time. He's there his entire college career. Now, very close relationship with family. His mother, Valerie, that's the reason why he didn't go to UCLA. Instead, stayed at Arizona State, wanted to stay close to home. Was a high school running back and helped lead Chandler to their first state championship since 1949. Goes to, you know, the Pac-12 conference, all freshman team. It was all over the place. Was a captain for Arizona State early and often. And just did a whole lot of great things over several, because he was recruited by Todd Graham. I don't want to get too much into Todd Graham. Dude's crazy. You could not be a bigger difference going from Todd Graham to Herm Edwards. Two completely different humans, to say the least. Now, you know, lots of relationships that carry over with the 49ers. He had a childhood friendship with N'Keal Harry. You got to remember, N'Keal Harry was ahead of Deebo Samuel on the 49ers draft board. Patriots took N'Keal. We got Deebo. The rest is history. But they grew up, you know, in Boys and Girls Club in Chandler and used to play together all the time, which is really, really cool. Then he goes to Arizona State. He's teammates with none other than Brandon Ayuk. So you've got a lot of these ties. Herm Edwards, Brandon Ayuk, all these different things in Arizona. And I just think that's huge. He's a big family guy. The loss of his grandparents has been a big deal to him. Lucas got tattoos of both his grandparents' names on his arm. Quote, "My family is everything to me. My mom, grandparents, my aunt, they all did everything for me," end quote. That's huge. People, when they think outside of themselves, that is huge. One, just from a human perspective, but two, it helps them understand the grasp of team mindset, maturity, doing things for others. That's important. Now, gets drafted by the Lions in the 7th round. Hasn't played much. Really hasn't played much at all. Special teams, and that's about it. Only 6 career snaps in back-to-back years on defense. That's it. Can't really measure that. Not great. Special teams-wise, 67.6 grade. Not bad. It's above average. If the 49ers want to be important, want to place value on updating their special teams and improving their special teams, Chase Lucas is a guy that can help dramatically. And if Samuel Womack isn't going to make this roster, then you want Chase Lucas. And if Chase Lucas isn't going to make this roster, then you want Samuel Womack. You're talking about two kind of young vets that are special teams upsides. So we'll see. I cannot envision a way where both Samuel Womack and Chase Lucas are on this roster. They're fighting for those same spots. It's just what it is. Now, 6 career tackles. He had 2 tackles last year, both on special teams. Missed 2 games in 2022 with an ankle injury. The 49ers bring him in. They signed him to a 1-year deal, $985,000. Now, here's the important part. 0 guaranteed money. Only Chase Lucas and Kamon Hall have no guarantees in that corner room. Everybody else has something already given to them. He's only got $1.4 million career earnings in the 2 years that he was drafted. We'll see. Now, his pick was important in the trade from the Eagles to the Titans, and then the Titans to the Saints, and then part of that was traded to the Lions. I mean, the draft pick, not the player, was traded lots of times. I tried combing a web through this, and it was just like, it's too much. But this pick has been dealt a lot of times, involving, you know, Trevor Penning, Treylon Burks, Malcolm Rodriguez, even A.J. Brown. Like, it was a lot. It was a lot. Now, he's played in 18 games, mostly on special teams, and he's got to fight for that last cornerback spot. He's got an outside shot to make the 53-man roster because perfect fit. There's not a lot of depth at that nickel spot. And special teams is huge, especially this year with people not knowing what the hell's going on with the new kickoff. So let's look at the cornerback depth chart. Usually the 49ers keep 5 to 6 corners. Okay, let's look at our locks. Charvarius Ward, lock. Diamador Lenore, lock. Renardo Green, lock. Isaac Yiadom, lock. Those are the only four that are guaranteed, which means there's one or two spots left on the 53. Daryl Luter Jr., Rock Ya-Sin, Ambry Thomas, Chase Lucas, Samuel Womack, Kamon Hall. Who's going to shine? You got to stay healthy. You got to be physical. You got to prove your value on special teams. That's where I think Chase Lucas gets his advantage. Ambry Thomas doesn't get out there on special teams. He's too soft. Rock Ya-Sin, okay, he'll do that. Plus, he's got more playing experience. Daryl Luter Jr., the rookie from last year, we'll see. Can he stay healthy? He's got the physicality for sure, but there's a lot there. And again, I'll say this. Chase Lucas had his roster spot hurt the most when they drafted the ideal copy of him in Renardo Green with more upside. If you would have asked me before the draft, I would have put Chase Lucas probably 40. After the draft, second round pick on Renardo Green, 62. I mean, that's just a they've got a type at the position, which Chase fits. But youth and upside, second round picks make the roster. Second round picks get multiple chances. Chase Lucas, zero guaranteed, and maybe not. I like this player. I really did like him coming out of college. I had a seventh round grade on him. He went undrafted, but he's a perfect fit. Smart, intelligent, family oriented, good head on his shoulders. Got to prove it on the field. He hasn't done that at the NFL level yet. The body, the metrics, all that matches. The scheme fit, everything's good. You just got to go out there and show it. And so the defensive coordinator is Coach Nichols for 3 years for the 49ers, Nick Sorensen. Yeah, it's his position. You go out there and prove you belong, which he can do, we'll see. So we'll be watching number 26 at camp into the preseason to see if he can shine. But he's going to get a couple more chances in the NFL. Practice squad consideration for sure, just because of the versatility. That's what he brings. Chase Lucas, glad to have you. Excited to see what you can do for the 49ers. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Well, actress Katherine Heigl, who saved over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says they've done a lot of research and they've come up with the idea, you want to help dogs' health, you got to help their food. So they've decided to come together and create something called Superfood Complete. It's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Now, I got to be honest with you, Lucy, our French bulldog, she's a picky eater. A lot of times we can't get her to eat very often. It's just the way she is. She's spoiled. It's what it is. We sprinkled just a little bit of Badlands Ranch on her old food just to kind of mix before we made the transition. That's not an issue any longer. She goes right for it. She doesn't wait. She enjoys it. The health benefits, all those different things are there just because it's healthier food. So if you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. That's BadlandsRanch.com/49ers. Get 50% off your regular priced order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. BadlandsRanch.com/49ers and get your dog that food today.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
We are now getting into draft pick territory. We've done some of the undrafted free agents. We still got a couple left and all that. Now we've got linebacker, seventh round pick. It's definitely towards the end of the draft. Linebacker Tatum Bethune out of Florida State. Fun player, fun person, fun background. Shout out to Josh for doing the research on this one. He comes in number 61. And in our, you know, rankings, the highest was 59, the lowest was 65. So very, very high floor for a seventh round pick on a talented roster with a lot of linebackers. He's got an uphill climb, but Tatum's going to be a part of this rotation. A lot of that has to do with Dre Greenlaw, right, with the injury. When he's going to be ready, that's going to give these young pups a little bit more of a chance early on. Definitely more reps in training camp, preseason, all those things, but there's a lot of guys he's fighting with, and we'll detail all that stuff. And again, if you recognize this name, Tatum Bethune, yeah, that's right. It is that Bethune, Bethune Cookman, who is the great-great-great aunt to Tatum. Educator, started the university down in Florida, you know, off, civil rights leader, activist, all those different things. Amazing human, and both of his parents are educators as well. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree. You know, you start doing some research on Tatum, Dean's List, Academic Honor Roll, all ACC, you name it. Wherever he's gone, the intellect follows. And so you love to be, you know, a lot of times we get the pedigree with, you know, players in the family, which his dad played at Florida A&M as well. But with Tatum, it's educators, man. Both parents, the aunt, the name, the academics follows with them. And so you love to see that. That is a huge positive for the 49ers, and especially at that linebacker position. You know, if you're going to be a linebacker, you got to know everything in front of you. You got to know the coverages. You got to know it all. So that's what it is. He's wearing jersey number 48 for the 49ers this year. Now, he's undersized, right? Good player. Hits hard. He's a thumper. Yeah. You just type into YouTube, Tatum Bethune, Jaden Daniels. You watch that hit, and it didn't take long to see, yeah, this guy, violence, aggression, all those things. And it's funny because he even admitted that when he was drafted, he watches Dre Greenlaw, models his game after him, and it shows up on tape. Now, why'd he go in the seventh round? He's small. 6 foot, 229, definitely on the smaller side. That's much closer to 1990s linebacker than, and again, I'm constantly going to use this term, the post-Fred Warner linebacker world, because Fred Warner changed it all. It's changed. There's no going back. Doesn't mean that there's not a role for the smaller, undersized guys, because the 49ers, they have two types of linebackers. There's a Fred Warner role. There's the Dre Greenlaw role. Well, he fits more of the Aziz Dre Greenlaw role. That's just what he is. 6 foot, 229, 32-inch arms, 78-inch wingspan, which actually is, he doesn't have long arms. He's got a wide body, wide shoulders, all those things. That comes across the wingspan. 66th percentile of linebackers. That's huge. Hands, 10-inch hands, big old hands. 75th percentile of linebackers. 23 years old, one of the younger rookies. Ran a 4.77 40-yard dash, which isn't bad, but it isn't good either. And that was at the pro day, not at the combine. So lack of size, lack of speed, that's why Tatum fell to the seventh round. Three cones, 7.03, not bad. That's really, so change of direction's decent. 30-inch vertical, decent. 16 bench press reps. All right, it's decent, not good. But you look at, you enter in all of his measurables on Mock Draftable. Look at this. The number two linebacker that he has the most in common with, Aziz Alshire, 89.6% match. Hardy Nickerson, the 2017 one, not the old school one, 86%. Dat Wynn, 85%. Smaller, instinctual, high-effort type players. That's what this guy is. TJ Edwards fell into that category as well. He's an 83% match there. So, comes out of Miami. Miami Central High School, had a lot of success there. Goes to UCF, developed a really good relationship with Randy Shannon. Don't know if you recognize that name. He was down at UCF. He had an offer from Auburn, turned that down instead, wanted to stay, you know, closer to home, did what he did. He was there for 3 years and was a starter there. Dean's List, had everything going, then transfers to Florida State for not one but 2 years of his final year, started, became a team captain, call plays, you name it. He's that guy, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun watching his tape. Because, again, old school, if you like old school football, you like this guy. Tatum Bethlen is your dude. Violence and just quick trigger. He jumps on all the time. He won the Bobby Bowden Leadership Award. You'd love to see that. You know, in the seventh round, what makes it kind of funny, he even talked about this right after he was drafted. You know, whenever you're in the seventh round, you've got to be forward-thinking as if you're not going to get drafted. So he's talking to teams about undrafted free agent contracts in the case he doesn't get drafted. While he's on the phone negotiating, the 49ers call and let him know, hey, you ain't got to worry about those things. You're going to be with us. Already said that he's had some amazing conversations before he was drafted with linebacker coach of the 49ers, Johnny Holland. That's huge. If Holland likes you, and I've said this for a very long time since, you know, Shanahan showed up, I think this year, 8.5 of the 49ers Rush podcast, they scout linebackers better than any other position. So if Johnny Holland, you get that stamp of approval, that means a lot. Might take him some time, and again, he's a seventh-round draft pick, so you got to kind of taper your expectations a little bit. But this is a 49ers fit. I already told you, he measures out to be basically Azeez Al-Shaair physically with his testing measurables. The mentality, the education, the leadership, the academics, all that's there. The mentality's there like Drake Greenlaw. I mean, come on. And he was teammates with Renardo Green. So you've got a lot of just similarities there already. And Renardo Green was asked, what do you think about being drafted with a fellow teammate, Tatum Bethlen? And they were good friends. They actually lived off campus very close to each other, I think, in apartments. But here's Renardo Green, the second round pick, talking about what it means for him to have Tatum Bethlen on the same team.
He's a leader. He's a hardworking guy. He's smart. He's very humble. But at the same time, he's confident. And he's a positive guy, even when things can, like, go left or, like, kind of hit a bump in the road. He always look at things in a positive light. So
it's kind of nice to know that you have a guy that you're familiar with in the classes with you.
Yes, it is, because we done been in that fire before with each other. We done won together, done lost together, did everything. So just knowing that, like, I got a brother from back at the crib,
It means a lot. That it cut off at the end there. I apologize. That's my fault. You look at his PFF grades just from last year. 76.0 overall, good. 73.6 run defense, solid. 67.4 pass rush, all right, not bad. 73.5 coverage. You're getting a jack-of-all-trades type guy that does have a lower ceiling. Why? He's smaller. Two, he's not as fast. The lack of speed, the lack of size, and, you know, it's funny because I really felt this way with Cody Schrader. I thought that he applied this, Drake Nugent, and Tatum Bethlen. Very similar. And I understand Tatum Bethlen was drafted, but John Lynch came out before the draft and said, you know, this is not a deep draft. We think there's about five rounds worth of, you know, draftable players. I think they see Tatum as a priority free agent. Not that that's a bad thing. Not trying to say negative anything here, but I think that he falls more in that category because when the Niners draft these players, especially early, they're looking for traits, they're looking for size, speed, these types of things. That's not where Tatum falls into. He's intangibles. He's Brock Purdy, right? Again, look at Brock Purdy. Didn't have the size, didn't have the elite arm, didn't have, you know, the 40 or whatever. He didn't have any of those things. He had all the other stuff. That's Tatum. Am I saying Tatum's going to be Brock Purdy? No, but the 49ers have a type that they like to go after in the back end of the draft and undrafted free agents. It's football players, it's mentality, it's scheme fit. We'll address the other stuff later, and he's got that. I mean, he's picked 251 overall. There's 11 spots before Brock Purdy, right? He went 262. This is the back end of the seventh round. It's So you always have to constantly put things into perspective, but that doesn't mean you limit what Tatum can do and what he can accomplish. You look at what he did in his college career, a lot of game tape, man. 339 career tackles, 28 tackles for losses, 7.5 sacks, 10 pass breakups, 4 picks, 2 forced fumbles. The production's there. He did it in 2 separate schemes. And you just look at what he did last year, 70 tackles, 5.5 tackle for loss, 1 interception, 3 pass breakups, 3 hurries. Did miss the bowl game, had an injured arm, but he wanted to play. That's another one. He's going pro, could have sat out. Nope, wanted to play. That's who this kid is. Fits the mentality of what the 49ers culture is about. Fits the scheme, fits the type, fits up here. Think Dre Greenlaw mentality, Aziz body. That's what you're getting. Dane Brugler of The Athletic had a 7th round grade on him, had him as his number 23 linebacker in this class. Now, whenever we were doing film, which, if you want to see the All-22 broke down, that's already up. Just go to the 49ersrush.com or to our Patreon channel, and you can just scroll down. You'll see it there. Tatum Bethune, got the All-22 full game up. It's fun watching him. And again, if you don't want to go through that, just type in Tatum Bethune, Jaden Daniels. I said it earlier. Trust me, it'll put a smile on your face. Like, yeah, the anger comes through. So my synopsis, aggressive, violent, small and slow. And maybe not slow is the right word. Lack of speed's probably better, but he's mean and he shows up. He's quick, very quick twitch, like quick trigger. He recognizes you. You tell he spends time on tape. You tell he diagnoses plays well. That's huge. And whenever he does show up, he shows up with attitude, bad intentions. Wish he had more size speed. I kept typing that my entire evaluation of him. You know, backside chaser, he's got the effort. He just, the lack of speed shows. And so the positive is, you know, if you go to Adam Fuller, who's the DC at Florida State, he runs a 4.25, very similar to what the 49ers do. Very, very similar. And that's probably why you got not one, but 2 players from that defense, right? Renardo Green and Bethune. It makes sense. There's not much of a translating into what they're going to do for the 49ers. It's, look, yeah, we run the same stuff. He's going to be doing similar stuff. So he's got 2 years experience in a similar type defense. And so the fit is there. I think early on, special teams, Sam linebacker, that's where he's got that number 3 linebacker spot. That's probably what he's competing for. Coverage is fine. It's not great. A little grabby, but you can say that about every single college prospect because you get away with it. It's called different in the NFL. But coverage isn't a liability, but I'm not so sure it's a strength. I constantly go back to this jack-of-all-trades type guy with a high football IQ, high football intelligence, work ethic, leadership, intelligence. It's just how much are the physical traits going to limit him? Lack of size, lack of speed. But you could have said the same thing about Chris Borland, right? And look what happened there. This dude is way more athletic than Chris Borland dreamt of. But do the intangibles stack up? That's what we got to see. Signed a 4-year deal, $4.1 million, so he's getting about a million per year. Played in 61 college games. A lot of experience there. Now, you look at the linebacker depth chart, which is kind of hard to filter through because of Dre Greenlaw, but the 49ers usually keep 5 to 6 players. Dre Greenlaw is going to be on the PUP, will not count against the 53, so he doesn't count as the 5 or 6. That helps the rookie Tatum. Fred Warner, lock. Devondre Campbell, lock. DFF is a lock. Oh, his entire salary is guaranteed, and this coaching staff loves him. Whatever, special teams, I get it, but he counts against a linebacker. That's 3, okay? Greenlaw, like we said, will not count. The 4th one for me is D. Winters. Fred Warner came out and said he had the best, you know, mini camp OTAs of any player, offense or defense. And with Dre Greenlaw out, I think D. Winters is going to be kept no matter what. Whether he gets that 3rd starting spot, we'll save that for the D. Winters countdown episode. But then you get these other guys, Jalen Graham, Tatum Bethune, Zeke Turner, Curtis Robinson. Who can provide the most for special teams and prove they can play that number 3 linebacker spot? I really think this is a battle between last year's late rookie, Jalen Graham, and this year's late rookie, Tatum Bethune. I really do. I think those 2 guys are fighting for a spot. There's a chance they could keep them both, but they're fighting for the same one. Jalen Graham has the ceiling plays. Jalen Graham's more athletic. He's got a bigger body. He's got all those things. But you see what he put on tape last year? Inconsistent. Huge splash plays, huge blown assignments, giving up 60-yard rushing touchdowns in the preseason. Can the consistency get there for Jalen? Or can Tatum prove, hey, he's got it upstairs. He didn't have to go through the safety kind of transition to linebacker like Jalen did. That is the battle that I want to watch. Tatum Bethune versus Jalen Graham. I like both, and there's reasons to want both of them, but they are very different from each other. Playing the same spot. Jalen Graham's longer, more athletic. Tatum's been there, done that, way meaner, smaller, slower. We'll see how that plays out on the field. Hopefully we keep both, but we'll see. Fun player, and I do think, you know, being that seventh round pick does not guarantee a roster spot. Does not. So we'll see what happens. And with other teams already offering undrafted free agent deals before he was drafted by us, if you cut him, if Tatum doesn't make your 53, I'm not sure you get to keep this cat. I really, really don't. But I hope the 49ers find a way to do it, because that attitude, you need it in the room. And with Drake Greenlaw going to be off to the side till probably November, December, you could use a little bit more thump in that room. Always more aggressive, more violence. That's what we need at that linebacker position. So, Tatum, it was an absolute pleasure learning more about you. Hopefully you come out and impress, and we find a way to bump you up from 61 to something higher next year on the 2025 countdown. But for us, we'll just keep counting them down. I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So, one of our sophomore players comes in at number 60, Ronnie Bell, wide receiver, punt returner. People are all over the place with Ronnie Bell. You know, last year, the preseason, he was hot and cold. All these huge catches, touchdowns, but also drop passes for interceptions. You know, the punt return steps in whenever Ray got hurt. And, you know, bobbled kicks, all that stuff. Filled in for Ayuk in the one game he missed, did really, really good. But whenever you look back on the year, it seemed like it was just in a constant decline from preseason, training camp, you know, and kind of that first month of the season. I don't think that he really improved too much. I hate how it ended. You know, the last week of the season against the Rams, whenever everybody rested their starters, probably had one of the worst games of anybody for either team that game. And the culmination, the end of it, was the Zoom close-up onto Kyle Shanahan's face saying, "What are you doing?" After he messed up a third and long play, and you see Sam Darnold, you know, visibly frustrated with his rookie wide receiver, Ronnie Bell. And that's kind of the last we saw of him. And so you don't like to end on those bad notes, but there was a lot of positive with what Ronnie Bell did. You know, filled in admirably well as a punt returner, as, you know, the backup to Ayuk. So there are positives, but when the 49ers go out and spend not one, but two draft picks on wide receivers and keep all the other wide receivers, is that an indictment on Ronnie Bell, or are they just looking to bolster depth without Ronnie Bell? Well, let's dive into some of that. Now, he comes in number 60 for us. His highest rank out of our four ballots, 1 through 91, was 54. His lowest was 63. Last year, as a rookie on our 2023 countdown, he came in number 50. So he's dropped 10 spots. How much of that is Ronnie Bell? I'd say about half. And how much is just the team around him, the depth chart around him, the additions around him? I'd say that's the other half. He wears jersey number 10, and got to give credit to my man Josh. He is the executive producer for today's episode. Let's look at the metrics, okay? Who is Ronnie Bell? 6 foot 190. All right, not big. Not big at all, you know, weight-wise, height-wise, 31-inch arms, super short, 24 years old, ran a 4.5, 340. So, yeah, that's good. No problem with the speed there. 6.93 cone, got a little shifty to him. 10-foot broad jump, good. 14 bench press reps, no problem. You put in his measurements into mock draftable, here's the guys you get. Rakeem Jarrett, Antonio Bryant, Mark Clayton, going back to the old schools, and Freddie Mitchell. Not a lot of these guys were hyper productive. Yeah, Mike Clayton sure as heck was. But this is a type of wide receiver build and skill set that is a little bit more rare in today's NFL. It's almost like they're all built like small running backs back in the 80s. These were all third down scat backs back in the 80s and 90s, but now that's not really a thing. So you move them to wide receiver. You get the ball in their hand. You see what they could do. And that's kind of what Ronnie Bell is. Now, he went to Park Hill High School in Missouri. You know, eventually graduated from Michigan with an English degree. But he had to bounce around, and he had to kind of fight for that. Because it's kind of interesting. You know, obviously the 49ers drafted a lot of Michigan guys. Ambry Thomas, Moody, and him all, you know, back-to-back years, basically. So they got a lot of Michigan guys. And what he was able to do at Michigan was huge. Michigan's Offensive Rookie of the Year 2018 was great. He was the Offensive Skill Player of the Year 2019, two-time All-Big Ten honoree, voted team captain by his teammates in 2021. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you go back to his high school, Ronnie Bell was great there, too. Top three in the state of Missouri, in Missouri history in receptions and receiving yards. The only two guys that have more than him is Dorial Green Beckham. Some of you guys got to remember that name. And Jeremy Maclin. Then it's Bell. That's just what it was. Now, he was a five-year letterman at Michigan, which is incredible. But he was a big-time basketball player. Three-year starter at basketball who originally signed his letter of intent with Missouri State to play basketball. That's what he thought he was going to be. Harbaugh gets tipped off from a basketball coach saying, hey, man, you might want to look at this kid. Goes and checks him out, offers him on the spot, comes in, and the rest is history. Now, when we look at the draft, the 49ers took him two picks before Jalen Graham, right? They drafted him. He was the 32nd wide receiver drafted. And he went super late, obviously, seventh round pick, all those things. But right after they drafted him, John Lynch, the post-draft press conference, here's what John Lynch had to say about why they liked Ronnie Bell.
Not the biggest package, but a real tough, physical, gritty player with the ball in his hands. Made a lot of big plays in big moments. The returnability is a big thing. We had Ray Ray, and behind Ray Ray, we didn't really have... You know, BA's done it before, but we wanted another returner. But really, he made it just on those traits. He's a guy that the more we watched, the more we liked, and did it at the right times, too. So Ronnie was a great addition.
I don't disagree with a lot of their sentiments. I was a little higher on Ronnie Bell in my draft work that we did. I had a fifth round grade. He went seventh. I had him as the 26th wide receiver. They took him number 31, right? 32nd wide receiver drafted. So close. I might have had a little higher grade on them. But here was my pre-draft write-up before I knew the 49ers drafted Ronnie Bell. Strong route runner, toughness, first down machine. That 100% has lived up. He only had six catches his rookie year, which is crazy. Seems like more than that. Five out of those six catches went for touchdowns or first downs. So that was there. Run after catch upside. Again, that kind of hyper running back, scat back, wide receiver guy. That's what he is. Great football IQ. Return specialist, jet sweeps. Good ball skills. Issues versus press coverage. That seemed to be an issue as well. Could not separate last year. Modest production. A lot of that's being on Michigan. They run the ball more than almost anybody. Release package needs work. Still does. Struggles with contested catches. Still does. I put plays like old school New England Patriots wide receivers. Like, you know, it's very typical, and you know, draft circles. You get a white wide receiver. Yeah, guess what? You're Danny Amendola. It's you're Julian Edelman, whatever else. And for Roddy Bell, that's what I saw. He did most of his damage, 15 yards and in. That's Jarvis Landry, old school Patriots wide receivers, the slot guys. That's what I saw, because the tall end of the workout metrics, I never saw a separator true X wide receiver, and that's what they played him at last year. And I don't think it was really his fault. When Danny Gray got hurt, Ronnie Bell had to step up, change positions. Then, Ronnie Bell moved to the primary IU backup when Danny Gray got hurt in the preseason. They didn't have anybody else there. And dude did his job. He did his job. But I don't think that's where he should be. He's not a separator. He's not an X wide receiver. Speed-wise, body-wise, route-wise, contested catch-wise. Like, he's just not supposed to play that. I just don't think that he is. I think he's supposed to be a backup slot wide receiver. Right, you talk about Elliot Edelman and Jarvis Landry. That's what I think he should be. So I hope they move him to that spot. And now he knows X, but I want Pearsall X. If I could do, I'm jumping forward here, but that's okay. If I could do my depth chart of wide receivers where I think everybody fits the best, you got the X role with Ayuk. His backup should be Jacob Cowing. You've got the Z role with Debo. His backup should be his backup should be Ricky Pearsall, and then you got the slot Juwan Jennings. His backup should be Ronnie Bell. That's kind of how I see it. Now I know other people are going to disagree, and Kyle Shanahan might be one of those that disagrees with me, because they see, Pearsall could play everything. I think that he can. I just think the easiest path and the best path for him is that Debo role personally. And the 49ers don't usually, with rookies, work multiple wide receiver spots if they don't have to. So we'll kind of see where he lines up and where he plays. But Rod, his IQ is huge. He's got 1 year on the team, so they could put him in a couple different spots. So I'm curious to see where Ronnie Bell's going to play. Now, we look at just what he did last year. PFF scores, okay? 61.1 overall, not great. 62.5 receiving, not great. 62.8 special teams, not great. 60.5 punt returner, not great. 54.9 kickoff and kickoff return, not great. That's kind of the issue. And he just kept getting phased out to the point that they were going with Chris Conley, Willie Snead, these type of wide receivers over the young buck. And again, I almost pulled the clip where Shanahan's yelling at him. I didn't want that on here. But if you just type in Ronnie Bell, Kyle Shanahan, it comes up. And it's just, third and long against the Rams. He's getting opportunity in that Ayuk role. And man, it was terrible. It was terrible all game. It was no effect whatsoever. Hey, you piss off Sam Darnold and Kyle Shanahan at the same time, you're doing something wrong. Now, punt returner. All right, let's talk about this. Had a lot of Kyle Williams-type vibes. There's no doubt about that as a punt returner. Now, here's what's crazy. He only returned 10 punts all year. He fumbled once, and that was it. He fumbled once, but he had a whole lot of bobbled catches, muffed whatever, second catches. He fumbled the ball out of bounds one time. He caught the ball off his chest and went out of bounds. Like, he lost the ball once, so that's not good out of 10. Average 7 yards per return, that's not great. It's just, I don't know. If you wanted to, and we do the John and Wayne show, and obviously Wayne loves him because he's a Michigan guy, but there is a lot to like in Ronnie Bell. There is. Like, it makes sense. But it's one of those players where I could spin this either way. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to present both sides. I mean, the guy had 6 catches, 3 touchdowns. Half of his receptions were touchdowns. Ronnie Bell had more touchdowns than Kyle Juszczyk and Juwan Jennings last year, right? So maybe he just needs the opportunity. I'm not quite sure that's the thing. Now, the one thing that I do have to add, and probably my favorite thing about Ronnie Bell, That dude blocks with the highest effort ever. And so you didn't see that in college. And that was like a big thing. He wasn't really high on my 49ers fit because he just didn't block. He was, in fact, a terrible blocker in the run game. He got the memo. And whenever he showed up into training camp and preseason and whenever he got snaps in the regular season, that dude blocked all out. In fact, he got penalties because he was blocking all out one time. So I don't know. You know, you look at the offensive stats, 6 catches for 68 yards. Yeah, not bad. 11.3 yards per catch, not bad. 3 touchdowns, that's great. 111 special team snaps, okay, not bad. But I don't know. Is there more meat on the bone? Can he improve? I think he can. Is he going to become an elite separator? I don't think that's in the cards. So where the Niners play him, I think is going to kind of help determine if he's going to be around or not. He's on the bubble, especially with keeping every wide receiver he had last year and drafting a first rounder and a fourth rounder. You go behind the fourth rounder. Jacob Cowing is making this roster. And guess what? I told you, Jacob Cowing's best spot is X. What did Ronnie Bell play last year? X. So you either got to move spots or you're going to get bumped down even lower in the pecking order. And a big reason why Ronnie Bell made this roster last year was Danny Gray got hurt. Well, guess what? Danny Gray's back. And there were injuries, you know, at the returner spot. Well, guess what? You got a bunch of returners. Brought back Trent Williams. Danny Gray's back, right? You go get your kickoff returners. Cowan can do both. I don't know. I just feel like this roster, the 2024 49ers, is going to be more difficult for Ronnie Bell to make the 53 than it was last year. He's not through anything that he has done. The competition's tougher. You had a first-round wide receiver and a fourth-round wide receiver. You're a seventh-round wide receiver. The numbers are there. Those guys are going to get their chances. Now, he's on his rookie deal, 4-year, $3.9 million. Last year, he made $827,000, so he's already paid out some of that. Hope he makes every single penny, and I hope that he takes this huge sophomore jump that some wide receivers do. Now, we look at the depth chart. 49ers usually keep 5 to 6 wide receivers. There's a lot of locks. Ayuk, Debo, Jennings, Pearsall, Cowing. That's 5 locks. They might not even keep another wide receiver. Now, I do have Ronnie Bell in the number 2. There's 2 tiers of backups. There's locks, there's backups, and then there's young practice squad players, okay? The backups are Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley. Those are guys that I think can make this roster. Who's going to make the roster? I don't know. Chris Conley is the best wide receiver of the group, no doubt about it. Danny Gray has the highest ceiling of the group. Can he stay healthy? Ronnie Bell is kind of your jack-of-all-trades guy. I don't know. I don't know who's going to win that competition. You got to stay healthy. You got to impress. Then behind them is your young practice squad or cut guys. Trent Taylor, I put in that group. Tate Martin and T.O.'s son, Tariq Owens. There's a lot of wide receivers on this team. A lot. 5 or 6 are making it. Ronnie Bell's got a shot. If I was a betting man, I'd say 33%. I'd say 33% Ronnie Bell, 33% Danny Gray, 33% Chris Conley. That, like, I cannot differentiate between those guys. If you're going from a wide receiver, it's Chris Conley. If you're going for upside, it's Danny Gray. If you're going for somebody that we know what we're getting, best blocker, maybe. Chris Conley might be the best blocker, but you know, I don't know. Shanahan likes Ronnie Bell. Oh, it's going to be fun. I really hope we see a jump. That's what I want. I want to see him separate himself, one, on the depth chart, but also on the field. I want to see what he could do and be much more sure-handed as a punt returner because that spot's still out there. And if there's any struggles at punt returner, man, Trent Taylor might, you know, be a practice squad player. They elevate because he's sure-handed. Ronnie Bell's not there. Maybe he could show that. And again, a lot of that's not his fault. I am categorically against rookie punt returners. I don't give a damn how good you are. I don't, like, kick returner, cool. Punt returner, no. And when Ronnie Bell got put in that spot last year, that was a no-win position. You just don't do that in the NFL. So hopefully he could get over those yips a little bit and be a sure-handed guy, because there's a chance he could be the starting punt returner week one. I wouldn't be upset with that. It's just, can he prove, man, we're past the bobbles, we're past the muffs, like, you're going to be a sure-handed guy. You don't have the ceiling to overcome turnovers. You just don't. Danny Gray might, because he's the fastest dude on the team, probably. But Ronnie Bell, you're not. We'll see what he does. Ronnie, surprises this year, man. A lot of people got upset last year, but he got asked to do a lot of things he wasn't ready to do. And hopefully this year he will be. And for us, we'll just keep counting him down.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.